This chart, you can look at it in your own time if you get a chance, but this is essentially all the different data points plotted on a chart. The dashed line would sort of be if we had a one-to-one correlation between experience and need. And then the red line is sort of a trend line that you see between all the dots for areas where there was a high need and low experience. And the numbers on there correlate to the numbers on the previous slide for identifying the spec claims in IDS. So I'm going to go over some additional things we've done since this survey. We've shared this survey a few times before and gotten a lot of great feedback. We have heard from stakeholders that they like hearing where they feel like the examiners want more help in examining their applications. So some of the things we're looking at is what is really the best way to actually quantify whether an application is ready for examination or not. Is it really, how soon it gets to allowance, whether there's 112 rejections in there, number of office actions, prosecution time. One of the things we talked about is really could we sort of compare one application to a similarly situated application to determine if it's really an outlier. Another thing we're looking at is what is the best way to quantify the impacts of timeliness or quality while controlling for other factors. So one application, for example, if I work with an applicant very often, we may sort of get comfortable with each other and sort of speak the same language, where if another examiner came in, that application may not be as easy for that examiner to examine. So there's some control things in there that we want to look at. And then same with this survey and even the surveys we give to external stakeholders, are the feedback we get from the surveys based on the occasional troublesome application or some recent bad experience, or is it systematic? Greg mentioned earlier artificial intelligence and big data. We have been using a little bit of big data and text analytics to do things like readability tests on applications to see how that sort of the level of readability of the application as well as the office action and how that would maybe compare to other similarly situated applications. And then just are these really things that applicants can effectively address, and how can we as an office help applicants prepare their applications for examination. So I can take questions now, or we can dive into yours and save. I think we're going to save time at the end for all the questions, if that's good.
Okay, so maybe I'll just get started, and we'll have some time for questions at the very end. So thank you, Stefanis, for that interesting presentation on the patent office perspective. But of course, patent quality depends not only on the patent office, but also on patent practitioners. So Todd and I are both practicing attorneys at law firms, and we want to give the point of view of a patent practitioner. And the goal here is to share some lessons and practice tips that we've learned in order to have the patent application preparation, prosecution, and portfolio management give you a set of patents that are actually useful and valuable to the corporations. And we want patents that are strong enough that you can enforce them, monetize them, license them, where they'll withstand challenges to district court litigation, also the PTAB. And this is getting to be quite challenging, especially as we see so many companies under budgetary pressures to reduce costs. And patents are one of the most expensive IP assets there are, especially if you want global patent protection. And so some of the practices we've seen in the trends of recent years are things like doing sort of flat fee commodity type prosecution where you have boilerplate and cookie cutter applications, or outsourcing services. And so then you might not get the same type of patent quality. So all of these things are impacting patent quality on our end. And so what we did was we took a look at some of the things that we can do on our end, which might actually cost money up front, but that maybe if you consider them, they could save you money down the road, especially in this age of the AIA. We are, I think, maybe under even more attack because our patents can be challenged at the PTAB. And so what we've done is taken a high-level approach and looked at what are the things that lead to patent cancellation and what are the kind of things that you can do to improve your patent quality. And we divided our talk into three main stages. Things that you can do during application preparation, things that you can do during the patent prosecution stage, and then things you can do to maintain a good patent portfolio.